program is winding down. We have one more launch in July. Basically, I would say the impact is more on the contractor workforce, because as the program's winding down, the contracts will be ending. And so then the contractors are going to have to look for new work for some of their workforce.
The HR, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So our workforce are actually also looking to have those contracts end, closed out. We're looking at transitioning, you know, hardware, skills and such to new programs that we're currently planning.
The HR folks always tell me that, especially when it comes to acquisition folks, the hardest part is to find somebody who's good and get them into the agency, and the second hardest part is to keep somebody that's good to make sure that they stay and continue in service to the agency. Talk about each of those two tasks and what you're trying to do to attract new folks that are good into your acquisition workforce and keep the good ones you have already.
Right. So getting new personnel, you try to have a good balance of experience in your workforce. So we look for recruiting new people, like we call it fresh outs of school. We work co-op programs, so personnel that are going to college interested in potentially, say, procurement. So that what they do is they go to school, take some time off, come to work at NASA in procurement, go back to school, eventually will graduate, and many of them, you know, come on board full time into NASA in procurement.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've also utilized an intern program where we hire personnel, give them assignments at two different centers. And then eventually, many of them stay on in permanent jobs and work at NASA in acquisition jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do we retain them? One of the, I guess, the benefits of NASA is our mission. It's a pretty exciting mission. And so many of the workforce that come to NASA as they're working here and get involved in our mission like it. So they like to stay on. So keeping people usually is not a problem.
I would think that the opportunity to work on teams that get things like space shuttles and other pretty cool things would be probably one of the best acquisition assignments in government.
It is pretty exciting. I mean, I came to NASA back in 2003 with an opportunity to work on the exploration programs, and it's just been one of the most exciting pieces of work I've ever had in my career.
Talk about the progress that you're trying to make, like all agencies are trying to, on the requirements process. It's, I would imagine, more important at NASA than probably just about any other agency, maybe a few exceptions, because of the level of sophistication of the systems that you're acquiring. But vendors tell me all the time, both vendors that deal with NASA and other agencies, that there still is a little bit of dissonance between the end users and the vendors with the acquisition shop in between. What is it like at NASA to bring the end users into the requirements process to make sure that you're getting them what they really want and need?
You know, so what we're looking to do is set up various strategy meetings at a very high level, like to, would introduce a new program to, first of all, look at the budget, look at which centers will be running the program, and make sure we're clear on the end objectives of what we want out of that program. Then once that's all kind of put into place, we will already have been started engaging with industry. We use industry days. We use things we call workshops, where we bring industry to really have a dialogue together to discuss requirements, and then do one-on-ones with industry, those who are interested. And then find, you know, use draft RFPs, requests for information. So we really try to have a transparent, open dialogue with industry on not just requirements, but terms and conditions of the contract, because what we want is as many companies interested to want to put a bid on for, you know, when we put out an RFP.
I don't need a particular number, but I'm wondering, just because of the nature of your mission, how much of what you buy at NASA is literally rocket science, and how much of it is the kinds of things that every other agency has to do and that NASA also has to do, like IT procurement and just straight-up goods and services type stuff. Is there any way to get a feel for kind of the breakdown there? Because I imagine there's a misconception that everything that NASA buys is something that's really cool and exciting.
Well, I would say most of our resources, and I don't really have figures,
that's fine,
to things like a new launch vehicle or a space vehicle to carry astronauts outside low Earth orbit, or an existing program like the shuttle with the rocket and the orbiter and things like that. But we also have support services that we need, taking care of our centers, you know, ground maintenance, all the day-to-day things of taking care. We need new buildings sometimes, or we need to modify buildings. Those are things that other agencies need. And so there's, but I would say a good majority of what we do are highly complex development programs and contracts.
Bill, I appreciate your time this afternoon to help us understand how you're doing things at NASA. Thanks for being on the program.